Gosum gupe gone cha celo ngesham yi tu chertin malubu tomene sadi tun tam sheshas ke pake wa nam la je yi rong kor wa ma tong bar du le shu ne dro la che ki kolo kor wa dong da jen gen an jang chu chen po.
To page 97. In the bottom of the page you see short mandala offering, so we'll chant that.
Sashi Perki Ju.
Welcome back. So I forgot to bring another frog. I have another one. So that has lotus. They're sitting on the lotus with the meditation positions. I think frog make progress before than cat. Maybe if you don't mind to introduce yourself to each other, maybe before we start class, so please. Did Chugula send you something? Chugula? No. So, the Chugula translated the title of the text. I forgot to bring. It's okay, Tamala, it's okay. So that's very good. So.
Is that right?
Yeah. Not me, frog. Not me, it's frog. I'm so happy to have somebody to blame. Not me, it's frog to ring the bell. Oh yeah, thank you very much, thank you. now back to the explanation on Tinjung. So you could say we are studying Wednesday night, we are studying like interdependence. Interdependence Tinjung. because of this and that happens, you know, because of that and that happens. You know? It's like it's not random or coincident or accident, because of this and because of this that happened, you know, like that. It's called interdependent, called Tejung. Don't know how to say it in Sanskrit, but what we are trying to figure out, you know, figure it out by learning about interdependence. first and foremost important thing is to recognize that your world, your individual world, your universe is the result of your perceptions. What do you think? Tobe ongi jiden nam ta te. That's what Nagarjuna said. Tobe ongi jiden nam ta te. So, topa is like conceptual thought. That's called topa. So because the conceptual thought, you know, then proceed the everything that five objects, you know, like form that includes shape, colors, sound, pleasant, unpleasant, neutrals, smell, pleasant, unpleasant, neutrals, taste, pleasant, unpleasant, neutrals, tactile, pleasant, smooth, rough, you know, neutrals. these are called like five objects of desire realms, the realms that we are part of. That was the name of their realms, called desire realms, because desire has a lot of influence. Influence on the life. So that's what we're trying to learn, you know, like one's own universe or one's own world, if that is the result, if that is our perception. Perception, what it means? It means like if that is like that world is imputed by our thought, mainly conceptual thought. You know, like this is like I consciousness. This is not conceptual thought. That's like called direct perceiver. It just perceive object directly. It doesn't go through something. So then the second moment, it kind of leaves some kind of a tendency that produce conceptual thought, even though you are not perceiving the object directly, but you have some ideas about the object, because object that has been seen before, then over time you still have this, you know, there are some thought that rise based on mental image. That's called conceptual thought. So that's the one that the impute things, good, bad, neutrals, project things on the object. So So that is something very important to understand. Understand. So now similarly here, like when you say I am very unhappy, or maybe I shouldn't say I'm very unhappy, I'm extremely happy. So we say I'm extremely happy, but generally speaking, people don't bother to analyze each time when they experience self or I, they don't analyze what is self, they don't analyze. Actually, that is also it's also perception. Perceptions is also perception. It's not something that solid, inherent, absolute. It's also perceptions. Perceived by your own thought, mainly conceptual thought. So then that conceptual thought, you know, then the projects based on that experience of self, based on the experience of self, then project many things. So why is it so important? Because right from the beginning, everybody, well, Buddhist, not Buddhist, you know, believer, not believer, you know, doesn't matter. Everybody, right from the beginning, they become attached to the self, notion of self. They become attached. So that's why it's so important to find out how you define self. That's very important, because you become attached to that idea of self, or notion of self. Right from the beginning, nobody teaches us. It's just automatic. If you say that yourself, Tamungashi Dala Shinjujis. Shin means like da means self. Shin means, you know, like you clink so tightly on that. Then from there, then you say my. No, my people, my tradition, my culture, my religion, my idea, my way, all of that, so on and so forth. if we just let it be, so then so there could be the foundation of all the problems that we experience. So Tamungashi Dala Shinjuji. Then from there, then you become attached to my, you know, my body, my culture, my tradition, my language, my way of life, my idea, my plan, my choice. That goes, list goes on and on and on. So that's how it seems like, it feels like this problem never ends. Problem never ends. It feels like problem never ends. Wherever you go, there you are. So that means it seems like it never ends. It goes round and round, round and round. So in the ancient time, the farmers, the way they get the water into their rice field, so they have this they build this well. You know, it's wells that has small buckets. There's many buckets, you know, like wells. And it's like that, it goes round, it goes, one goes down, bring water, then goes up, then goes down, this goes just round. So, not just you, everybody else feels and seems a problem never ends. Therefore, that's the foundations why we need to show compassion. That's the foundation for the universal compassion. That knowledge or that realizations that everybody is going through the same kind of problem, like circle round again, you know, one after another. Suggestion that Rama Meba in Rola Ninjas. Therefore, practice compassion. That means everybody deserve to be love, deserve to be care. It's not based on race, is not based on culture, is not based on religion, is not based on traditions. It's based on problem they feel or they think never ends, goes round and round and round, round. In that case, everybody's the same. Everybody's the same. So that's the foundation, according to Buddhist philosophy, that's the foundation for universal compassion. So that knowledge and deeper understanding, what you call realization, is needed in order to develop universal compassion. That's the foundation. Oh, Lola Nyingchuma tell us this. Compassion to yourself, that foundation is needed. That's the situations. That is the condition. That's the situations. So that's the foundations to develop compassion towards yourself, towards others. That's the foundations. There's always base or foundations to have compassion to yourself. It's not like once in a while I deserve compassion, so the other time I don't deserve compassion. It's not like that. Till you reach fully enlightenment, you always deserve. How is it deserve to be? Compassion?
Deserve to have compassion.
Yeah, you always deserve. Till you reach enlightenment, you always deserve to have compassion. Huh? Deserve to be? To have?
To have. To receive.
To receive.
Or just deserve compassion.
Yeah, to receive compassion. Huh? Deserve compassion. It's not like, oh, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. It's not like that. No. Why? Because the foundation is like the problem that you experience is like wheel of, it's like that's like the wheel that the farmer used in the rice field. It's like that. It goes round and round, round and round, never ends. Okay. So that's very important. I think that's very important. It will heal once you understand that that realization is badly needed in 21st century all over the world, all over the world. Because there's so much problem not knowing the foundation for the universal compassion. And there's, you know, fighting for like secondary level differences, you know, religions, culture, traditions, all of this is very unfortunate. So now you understand, you know, why it's so important to analyze your own sense of self or notion of self. Why it's important to analyze. Maybe your fear, your anxiety, your stress, your all like emotional problem is based on something that does not exist at all. Could be. Stories about ghosts, then fear that comes with that stories. And that story is, you know, seeing something, you know, in my hometown, in the winter time when you wash clothes, minute you hang out, it froze. Then as a kid, when you go outside, there's no indoor bathroom, you have to go out. So when you look at from the window, looks like somebody's walking towards you because of the wind. So then all this fear of ghosts is built on that. So what we need to do in order to overcome that fear, you need to find out the truth. So just for the reference, you know, so why is so important to analyze the notion of self or experience of self? Am I my body? Am I solid part of my body that includes everything that's solid, bone, everything? Am I liquid of my body? You go through. Am I heat inside the body? Am I oxygen that I breathe? Am I space inside my body? Am I my consciousness? You go through that. Then if your answer is yes, I am my body, so then you have to bring counter argument. So that means pretty much when you die, game is over. Then it's over. Is that right or wrong? Correct assumption or not? So then you go through that kind of debate, self-debate. If I'm my body, what will happen? So then you go, so then you maybe reach to the conclusion that you are any of these things, but experience of self is very vivid, very real. What is it? Now, where is the what is self? Now, I went through all of everything that I went through everything now. I did not find self there. If I say, oh, I am consciousness, that means consciousness does not have shape and color. That means nobody can see you. That's not true. No, that's against reality. So now then you reach the conclusion, what is self? What is self? This is the base that you level Gishigelek, you just call Gishigelek. This is the base you call Gishigelek or John or Peter or Alex or whatever, so on and so forth. You just call. You just level on this base. So the base and the level, these two different things cannot be one. Base and the level cannot be one. So that there will be like a problem when you debate, there will be a problem. You know, this is the base that you call prayer will. But prayer will, this is the base for prayer will. The prayer will is the level. So self is the level. But that's not how we experience each time when we experience self. That's not how we experience self. Especially when we are criticized, when we are looked down, then that time you just feel this in the death, very strong feeling of self. But unfortunately, we don't analyze. We don't analyze that experience. For the sake of knowledge, that's why it's so important, because we become attached to self in the beginning. So then from there, then there, you know, more complications occur. So what we need to know in order to find out, you know, some shadow that you see in your room, there's not much light in the room, then you start to see the shadow, then you think the shadow is like mice or cockroach, start to see, then your mind projected. But generally speaking, more people don't analyze their thought. They, you know, then they start to see the shadow is moving, and then you create antenna of the cockroach. Then you then start to move. Then all kind of emotion rise. So now, in order to eliminate all this anxiety, fear based on that object, that shadow that you perceive as a cockroach. So then based on that perception, so many things, so many emotional things rise. So now, what is the best way to eliminate for good? Temporarily, maybe you can say some mantra or some prayer that cockroach doesn't come to you. You could do different things. You could say some mantras and some prayers, but that's not going to eliminate the root of the problems. So now, so you can meditate on compassion. So what do you need? You need two things. You need bright light, then you need eyesight, good eyesight to see. With these two things, you can root out the base of all this emotional problem. You could root out. to bright light, so then with the good eyesight, then you find out just like the shadow of something, some stuff in your house. So once you find out that, all this is gone. Here, now, same. The wisdom is like, same, similar, like eye, eyesight, wisdom. So then instructions how to do, how to meditate on emptiness, how to do, begin with the self. So this instruction is like light. And with that, and there's possibilities that you could cut the root of all the problems, okay? Oh yeah, so then you'll be free from, this cycle from this will, or you'll be free from that. Oh. So, that's what we've been talking, I think, last two Wednesdays. Oh. Just a brief review. So now wisdom, how you define wisdom? Wisdom is the part of our thought, has ability to distinguish between what is right or what is wrong. It's not eye consciousness, it's just see things, that's all, just see things. Whether it's good or not good, it's all done by conceptual thought. It's all done by conceptual thought. Oh. So that's the one, you know, so that, then project it, you know, project that you don't like, I like, you know, then all kinds of things are projected by conceptual thought. So these five senses, they just give you information, but then conceptual thought is the one decide which one is useful, which one is not useful, which one is like dangerous, which one is not dangerous. It's all done by conceptual thought. It's not done by eye consciousness. The five senses is just feeding you the information. So the conceptual thought is the one that decided. You know, so that the wisdom is part of the conceptual thought, which has ability to distinguish between what is right or what is wrong. That's the definition of wisdom. So now wisdom, by reading something or listening to something, that generate wisdoms. So then wisdoms, by thinking what you read or what you discussed or what you heard and thinking, that's relatively better wisdoms generated by that, wisdom generated by thinking. So then wisdom generated by deep thinking, could be analytical, right from the beginning could be just analytical meditation, you are just analyzing meditations. So then eventually it's going to be single-pointed meditations. So that will produce the best form of wisdom. So that wisdom then liberates. Okay, liberates. Oh. Three types of wisdom. So then the wisdom generated by thinking. That's the way to reach to aha moment. Huh? That's how you say aha moment. That's how you say in America, you say aha moment. So then you focus on that. So then it goes deep and deep, 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 deep. So then from there, arising from that deep knowledge and the whole perception change. Now you realize my world, my experience is my perception. My perception is not every other single person agree how I see things, how I judge things. People have different perceptions. So that means tobe ongi jigden nam ta des, tobe ongi jigden nam ta des. Jigden literally means world. World is it's like projected by your mind. It's projected by your mind. project by your mind. But that's not what we think. We think something out there, something solid, inherent, absolute. So that's a mistake. Yeah? Mm. Well, that's a brief review. Maybe move on a little bit. Rang rang lo mari be tu onke teda na wa mado na wa teda tena mindu nyam tu tingne lo ta cheba si jones. Through meditation, now you kind of reach to the conclusions that you know everything, the world means you know, your world used to think there's something absolute, inherent, independent. Now you realize this is all has imputed by my conceptual thought. That's all. Nothing more, nothing less. That's all. So the good news is that conceptual thought can be improved. That conceptual thought, that's your thought. It's very manageable. You could, you know, transform their thought. So, these ranglo maribe true ongis, maribe true ongis. In Buddhist texts, in the philosophical texts, you find this term is called fundamental confusions. What is it? What is it? Fundamental confusions. Fundamental and root is the same thing. Root. The root or foundation or root of all these complications is confusions. Confusions. Not very clear each time when we say self, we don't have crystal clear understanding of self. So that's everything began from there. Now you realize there's a notion of self, the experience of self that you used to live on. So now find it turns out it's very much, it's not very clear. It's not very clear. It's not clear. So that creates all the complications. Now you slowly realize that. Before you think, oh, everything is something solid, independent, absolute. For example, nazo yiga mezo kacheshin, flowers that just blooming in the garden, all the flowers that just blooming in the garden, springtime, nazo yiga. Nazo various kind of flowers just start blooming. Makes your mind kind of pleased. Nazo yiga medo kachish, that's just one. Seji kanjo bari yuwana, nazo yiga medo kachish, seji kanjo bari yuwana. I think Nagarjuna, Indian Master Nagarjuna said that. Seji kanjo bari yuwana, beautiful looking house. How beautiful looking house. Tina dila chepo gami, This beautiful, this, you know, various kind of flowers, you know, seeing them as a beautiful, beautiful house, beautiful flower, all kind of flowers. All of that is part of your mind. There's not 100% guarantee that everybody will see the same thing. Beautiful, you know, some people may not see the beautiful because their mind is so negative. All of this is as a your perception. Your perception makes sense? It's your perceptions. It's not like somebody else's perception that you are seeing. It's your perception. It's that how you perceive. Doesn't mean you are perceiving something that somebody already perceived. So that's good. If you are perceiving something that somebody is perceiving, make sense? yeah, someone else's perception. If you are perceiving things based on someone else's perceptions, then I cannot imagine that world is going to be so complicated. Could be good, could be complicated. It's just like, so that's your perception, your perceptions. That's what Nagarjuna said, okay? These Ranglo Maripe Tuve Onkis. Because of fundamental confusions, that's how I perceive things. Once you realize that, it's all my perceptions, it's all my perceptions. It's not serious. As I project, I projected. It's not solid as I projected. It's not independent as I projected. It's just my perceptions. My perceptions. Once you realize that, now mado kada, same like here, seeing the shadow as a scorpion. It's just my perceptions. No. It's just my perception. It starts to move, that's my perceptions. It's coming close to me, walking towards me, that's my perception. It's not like something is walking towards me, it's my perceptions. Once you realize that, so then all this emotional that based on that is gone for good. It's gone for good. Can you see the similarity? Huh? Similarity. So that's why this example has been put there. Similarity. So they're similar. So now you are 100% convinced through your thorough analysis, what you call analytical meditations. Through analytical meditations, then top of that, single-pointed meditation, now you are 100% convinced things are not the way I perceive. Things are not the way I perceive. Now you are 100% convinced. That's what happened, the result of analytical meditation, single-pointed meditation on self. That's what happened at the end. It's like crystal clear sky. Nothing there. You see cloud, light cloud, different colors, dark, yellow, not yellow, dark, light, smoke, all kind of color. But it's just there. It's not inseparable with the sky. I used to think this all inseparable with the sky. Maybe you never saw sky without cloud. So now you start to see the sky or space without cloud. No wonder. Yeah. So don't think that I never saw. I'm just saying. So I'm way behind you, so I never saw anything. But, you know. But I do think about it. Think about that. No. You are 100% convinced through your thorough analysis what is self. Now you are 100% convinced through this thorough analysis of experience of yourself. So then you reach to that conclusion. Everything is just projected by my mind. That's not how things exist. That's how I perceive. And now there's a big difference. There you see. So that is called profound middle way view. Profound middle way view, that's what it's called. So that kind of convictions. that conclusion is called profound middle way view, or shunyata, or emptiness. That's what it is. That's what it is, emptiness. Oh. See, it doesn't mean nothingness. It doesn't mean nothing. It means something very profound. Oh. Ume tawa shi jye to shi. Loda chepe tawa te jeba, jeba na nganzu chunan ke jebe chadan so lenye tangs. Once you reach to that conclusions, so then all these, you know, complications, complications that are related to the mind, such as anger, attachment, jealousy, pride, so on and so forth, and top of that, you know, then actions comes out of that, you know, physical, verbal, mental actions, you know, like power by, you know, so this all like has a disturbing thought, unhealthy thought. Then those things, the actions, powered by disturbing thought, then that create more problems, result will be more problems, more complications. All of this will cease, or will cease. Cease for good. It will cease. Nguji paja chen namche, lani kovetawa danzuji lu, tetamji. So this explanation, this brief explanation about meditation on shunyata or emptiness is enough for, like I said, is enough for ombu nombu nguji paja chen namche. Ombu nombu literally means, you know, sharp mind, which ombu nombu. In this case, it's nothing to do with the sharp mind. It is to do with as a familiarity with the middle way view from as a life before this. Unje phaja chen nam lani kovetawa danju kovetawa danju, self-grasping mind, that is the root of all the problems. According to Buddhist philosophy. Now you think about, you ask yourself questions, what is the root of all the problems? What is root of all the problems? According to Buddhist philosophy, that's how they define root of the problem is self-grasping mind. Mind that grasps so tightly on self that we have no clue how to define. That's according to Buddhist philosophy. It's been around like 2,600 years. So now you think about, what is the root of all the problems? Maybe you may come up with some ideas, but you can't just accept right away. You have to have debate. You can't just accept right away. You have to have debate. Then you have to explain why that is the root of all the problems. You need to explain. You need to make it sense. You need to explain, okay? Oh. Ombo nimu je, dang kowe tawa danzu je lu tertam je, tawa puta jwa jula jawa yelas. Just this kind of explanation is enough for someone who is familiar with teaching of emptiness, who knows, maybe like before this. So, do you have any experience that, you know, whether you go to different places, when you see people, when you see places, do you ever feel that this looks very familiar? Do you have any experience? So how you explain that experience? How you explain why you have this feeling? Why you have this feeling? How you explain? But we all do, you know, we like, there's some certain place that you are very much drawn to, and certain people, certain species, animals, certain places, and feels very familiar. How you explain? Besides tendencies, that's on the consciousness, corresponding with certain conditions, then the tendencies become alive, become active. That's how, according to Buddhist philosophy, that's how you explain. There are so many tendencies on the consciousness. So when those tendencies correspond with the certain conditions, that tendency will be very active. So that's how the, according to Buddhist philosophy, that's how it explains, so explain like that. So now, besides that, how you explain why you feel certain place very familiar, there must be some reason. You can't just say random. If it's random, then everybody should feel the same thing, but that's not the case. If it's random, then why you are the only one? Why you are? That means you are special, or I'm not sure what you say. If you say I'm very special, other people may not appreciate that. So then how you explain? So that does not happen to the people, animals, places, different countries, that happens. So how you explain? Well, according to Buddhist philosophical text, there's something to do with the tendencies that's been printed on your consciousness, so then corresponding with certain conditions, then that activates these tendencies. Oh. So just think about it, okay? Just think about it, okay? So same thing like this text composed by Chandrakirti, one of the masters from Nalanda Monastery in India, so now you know those all the masters gone long before, wrote this intro into the middle way. This is a text all about emptiness or shunyata. So that Pandit wrote this text. In that text it says, when you start to read books that talks about shunyata or emptiness, or you hear somebody talking about emptiness, or you read, then you have this kind of like frequent joy in your mind, frequent joy in your mind. That joy kind of expressed in the physical form that you may have tears in your eye, or maybe you may have goosebumps. So that clearly indicates that some tendencies are there, that indicate there are some tendencies of shunyata there. So that, you know, Chandrakirti said in the text, entering into the middle way. I think that's already translated also in English. But reading the root text probably is hard to understand. If you read the commentary, probably it will make a little more sense. But this particular verse is not that hard to understand. That's exactly what it sounds like in Tibetan, what I said in English, okay? So then for this kind of people who have tendencies, so now if their tendency is being activated by listening, hearing, or reading, their tendency has been activated. So that's why you have this frequent joy, goosebumps, tears, you know, like that. Okay. So for these kind of people, so that explanation is enough. It's enough. They don't need more or less, that's just enough. So from this brief the instructions, then based on that instruction, they will probably find the ultimate truth. Okay? Then some people may need more explanations, you know, like exactly like me. So, need more explanation. Frog, what do you think? Frog says, yes, absolutely yes. So, dāngzhū tē gōpē tāp rīpē chēpā chēsū nīsā ngāwa ñabē lō tē sūwā tāshī ngā tē rāngē phūmbē tīng tū yunā yunā tētāpē ngā tē rāngē phūmbō tā chītā tē kāng tū chūbūs. So now person like me need more explanations. So now they say, now you are meditating. How I define myself? Then you say, okay, my body, this is me, my body. I am what people see, that's me. Or another way to say it, like, I am, you could say, I am my body, or you could say, I am on the body, in the body, on the body. Which one is the correct English?
Yes.
In the body, you don't say on the body.
No.
On the body. You say the bug is on my body.
Yeah.
You could say bug is on the body. That's correct English.
Yes.
Yeah. But I am on the body. That's incorrect.
Right.
Why is incorrect?
Unless you're sitting.
Well, clothes are on the body.
Huh?
Clothes are on the body. They're external.
So my question is, why is in Korean English I'm on my body?
Being on the body is a separation from the body. Being in the body is being sort of one with the body.
So when you say I'm on my body, so that means you feel separate, you and body?
Yeah.
Is that good? Is that good news or bad news? So then how I should say nga 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 nyambe lo ti suwa taji nga de rangipu. So nga nga means me, I, that notion or experience. Now you are start to analyze the notions, I, that try. Now you are trying to analyze the notion of I. Now you're starting to analyze the notion of I. So now you're trying to analyze that I, that you frequently say I, then you're trying to then analyze that I. You're trying to analyze. You're starting to analyze that I. Ngate, rangi phumbu di tindu yuna. If that I is on this body, or no? Huh? Is it on your body or no? That's good. So that means you already see emptiness. So you cannot complain now. From now on, no complaints. So see, you are now analyzing the experience of self. You are saying, I. Now you are trying to find that I. Is it on my body? Where is it? So now if somebody asks, where is it? What do you say? Let's just say, okay, it's on my body. According to the text, you know, that's how fast people, when you start analyzing, then you say, let's just assume, it's on my body, let's just assume that you are saying, it's on my body. So now the second question is this one with your body or different? The question will not stop there, because you need to find the self. Why is it so important to find the self? Because if you don't know what the self is, so then you are so tightly grasping on that, and that makes you so vulnerable, then that creates so much problem. Therefore, it's very, very important to find out. Because the mistake of the mistaken notion of self creates so much problems, you know, then I think indirectly probably, you know, suicide, homicide, all this probably happens, I think. So now you are sitting there very comfortably like frog here, not exactly like that. That's kind of complicated to sit. So maybe one or another will try. Yeah. I? Where is that I? Then if let's just assume that you say, oh, on my body. Now last questions, according to the instructions, is this one with your body or is different? Why thing do you know? That's how you meditate on emptiness. Emptiness doesn't mean you just think, oh, there's nothing there. No, that's not true. There are so many things you see. That's nihilism. If you say nothing is there, that's nihilism. That's one extreme view. That's not middle way. Middle way means freedom from two extreme view. One is nihilism. One is superimposed. 90% is projected. Only 10% is there. So that's another extreme view. Free from those two views is called middle way, shunyata, emptiness. That's what it's called. So now we reach to that point. Now we say, okay, it's my body. So now further questions, because these people who wrote this text, they've done the meditations. They've reached to the conclusion. They've done the meditation. Now they're helping us how to reach to that level. Rangi Phungpa did the Chikta Sathya concept to analyze. Is one with my body is all different. That's how you analyze. Tenye Kanto Madhubi Chuni Misidus. If anything that exists, it has to be one or more than one, otherwise it doesn't exist. Make sense? Anything that exists, it has to be one or more than one, otherwise it doesn't exist. Can you help me to explain? Yeah. Anybody help? Does it make sense in my... If anything that exists, it has to be either one or more than one, otherwise it doesn't exist. So now, if the self exists on this body, it has to be either one or more than one. So now, you can't say, oh, it's neither one with my body nor different. You cannot say that. It's logically doesn't make sense. Is that correct? It doesn't make sense. You already said, oh, I is experience of I that I analyze, I'm trying to find that I, then I end up saying that I is on my body. So now, is this one with my body or different? You can't say, oh, neither. So that doesn't make sense. You know, why is first place you say it's on the body? So you already said this, but let's just assume, no? So now if you say, okay, now I already said it's on my body, now I said it's one with my body. This very body that you are saying that self is on this body and one with this body, one with, not just saying, you are saying two things. First assumption is assumption or conclusion is it's on my body. Second, you are saying this. It is one with my body. So this very body is the product of sperm and egg. That's what it is. I think probably nobody will argue. You know, that's what it is. So like 9 months, 10 days, generally speaking, mother's womb, dagushachu, 9 months, 10 days, dagushachu, could go one extra month, generally speaking, 9 months, 10 days. So before that, it is like, there's probably names, Tibetan also there's name, you know, like how that, the whole process of taking form in the before, what it looks like now. Now even better, you can see. Before you cannot see. Unless you have clairvoyance, then you can see. Now you don't need clairvoyance, you have machines. You have machines to see. Now you see. The whole process you can see. That's quite amazing, you see. So that's what it is. That's. Now, if somebody thinks, well, is that you? You say, oh, of course not. They say, no, so there's nothing. Even though it becomes like a little bit like shape, like But he said, no limbs, then you can, is that you? The people said, no, of course not. So now then, you know, Kuratva is Parchiva Sangha Parukavesh. Then when we die, so this body will disintegrate. So that means you are finished. This argument, you bring it up. So what do you say now? What do you say? You can say, or you cannot say, I'm not going to say anything. That's probably not, that's not a very good way to debate. You need to say something. Jinchabha to say, Teya jinchabha jyugavala, Tesamni tomandabani sum, jinchabha tes. So then if you say, oh, yeah, right, so when body is cremated, game is over, it's finished. A lot of people, you know, when I meet people, I was kind of curious. I asked random people, what will happen when you die? Some people say nothing. Some people say it's game over. Some people say something will go on. Anyway. So what will be the answer? What will be the answer? Think about that. Okay, what will be the answer? Of course, Buddhism believes life before this, life after that. This is just small portion. There's a small part of the bigger rivers. River is long, that's been there, it's just small part of the river. It's not the entire river, this is small part of the river. It's easy from the Buddhist philosophical point of view, it's easy to answer because no, when the body cremated, selves continue, I continues. So now living in the modern society that's very much influenced by science. What do you say? What do you say? Think about what do you say? So then there are, if you say the game is over, there are so many things that needs to explain. So there's not just that, there are many, many things that need to think about. So that's according to Buddhist philosophy. So each time when you take new form, the sense of self is already there. It's not just, oh, this is the first time it's happening. So it also need to think about, so as I mentioned in the Sunday class, before this, who are you? Are you some kind of redwood tree from the California? Those questions need to be asked and debate. Not easily accept and ask and debate. No, the debate. Probably we have all kind of clues that we receive, but lack of our mindfulness, and we usually that probably there are so many clues that we every day in this life, but we know because our mind is always busy thinking something. Clue that's related to your interests. Your interest, and you know, there are probably many, many clues. clue related to shape, clue related to the form, clue related to the sound, smell, taste, tactile. There are probably many, many clues. Because we are constantly feed information through these five senses. Probably there's certain information, like probably carrying some clue, but we don't need you to pay attention. So. So according to Buddhism, it's quite easy to answer because life before this, life after that, you can't say when the body is cremated, it's game over. It's not game over. So according to Buddhist philosophy, it's not game over. So easy to answer. So if you say now it's game over, unfortunately, you cannot really find out now. Right? You can't find out now. So maybe time of death, then there's too little too late. You feel that something's going on, then I think there's nothing much you can do. Question is, what? If you start to do something for many lives in the future, what is the lost? What's the lost? What's the lost? As in, what do you lose? Future, what do you lose? If there's something goes on, it benefits. If you do nothing, so there's nothing. There will be no benefit. That's how you that's how you bring counter arguments. If you say I am one with my body, then that's the argument you bring it up, so then eventually that person needs to let it go, their assertions. So now that's not, you know. So then, you know, then you change your mind again, you change your perceptions, you know. Yeah. When I say I'm with my body, one with my body, there's so much question that arise, I probably realize there's no way to answer them. Or maybe there's no answer. So now I'm going to say it's different than my body. Now I'm going to say there's only one choice left now. I'm going to say I'm different than my body. So don't know what will happen. You can just, okay, fine. You don't say that. Okay, fine. It's not fine. You need to debate. Okay. Okay, Gishikele says I'm now different than my body. That's fine. So I'm different than body. Down the road is not good. Sooner or later you will find out truth. You know, because mind starts to think. You can stop people's minds, people start to think. No, so so the loss you're not tending not deje, not de not divo. Loss you're not does it. Now when you don't know the fumbo loss you're the nyam to tell us fumbody not the fumbody loss made. So now you then counter argument say, oh no no no. Self is not is not it doesn't exist beside this body. If you say first you say it's on the body, it's one with the body, now you say it's different than body. It means it's like nothing to do with the body, it's like different. Also this is all meditation, that's how you meditate. Also you're not now, first thing you say, sure, where is it? You say, it's not one, it's not here. Now, you say, it's like, has outside of body. You could say, outside of body. Then say, sure, sure, show me. Show me. Okay, that's the first argument, counter argument. Show me, where? Then show me. When your finger burns, then you say, I'm burned. That clearly shows you can't say, oh, me exists without this body somewhere else. Then why you say, when your finger burns, why you say you burn? That's how you meditate. That's how then. Then you need to answer. Not such you say, Lola, you say, oh, I'm hurt, because your fingers hurt. Then you say, I'm hurt. You don't say, oh, my hand is hurt, I'm fine. You don't say that. If you say something like that, that's very good news, but you don't say that. So my finger was hurt, I'm okay. So you don't say that. When your finger hurts, so then you say, I'm hurt. You say, but you say also at the same time you think like that. That's your perception like that. Now the Pumbo ni susu yuna Pumbo la rebola, rebola na rebola to them. If this self and the body is separated, somebody touch your body, you cannot say, oh, they touch me. You can say, no, to touch me. So if somebody touches you, then you say, oh, they touch me, so that means, you know, so that indicates that that is very much, that's the core relationship with body and self. It's not separate, it's not one, kind of complicated. It's not one, but it's not separate. So that's how you analyze, that's how you go through total analysis, that's how you analyze. So this is explanation is for me, you know, somebody who has no tendency of emptiness. So if this somebody cannot say that, you know, I was hurt, I was touched, you know, somebody touched me. You know, then a God voice is like, you know, you can't say, if I touch here, the frog cannot say that Gishikele touched me, I touched cat. If the frog says, oh, Gishikele has touched me, that's lie. I didn't touch, the same like that, you know. You can't say somebody touched you, you cannot say they touched me, because now you and your body is like frog and cat. There's nothing to do. It's separate. So otherwise you can say, oh, touching the cat's ear, the frog will say, oh, don't touch my ear. They will not say, because it's separate, no different. So, time is over, so I'll stop. So, got a little excited, sorry. So then continue. So that's, you know, you can, you know, start to meditate. Okay, you don't have to wait text to finish. You can just meditate and see what happens and see what kind of experience you gain. Especially when you feel like the, so I pause. Analyze. In the end, there's nothing to look for. What in this space, what you look, there's nothing to look for. It's just, there's nothing. You can't say it's completely nothing. There's something that's called space. But there's nothing there. Nyamsha, nangwata vitoni, nyamsha. Meditative ego voice, or you could say deep meditations, what do you see? Something. What it looks like, it looks like space. Nothing else. So now it's not that, that's not the experience when we start to meditate all kind of things. You see, all kind of things you see. It's not like that, okay? Yes, this is a meditation that guides you to that, reach to that level, guides you to that level, okay? So when you start to meditate now, so then that's like, then it's all, the process all begin, the process already began, okay? So how long? Nobody knows, who knows? I don't know. If you know, then please tell me. Okay? Oh, yeah. Yeah. So then next Wednesday, continue.
So in the Gold Prayer Book, turn to page 191, and we'll chant the praises to the 21 Taras.
And eventually in this text, also teach us how to use this meditation on emptiness to heal yourself. Physically heal yourself. So that will come. So somehow that you have karma, because I've been carrying this text all the way to California. And some a few times it start open, then that doesn't feel like, so then come back here. So it start from here. So I brought this text many times here, then I each time when I open, oh maybe no. Not today. Not today. So anyway,
We'll start with the invocation. From your sublime abode at the Potala, O Tara born from the green letter Tam, your crown adorned with Amitabha, action mother of the Buddhas of the three times, Tara, please come with your attendants. The gods and demigods bow at your lotus feet, O Tara. You who rescue all who are destitute, to you, Mother Tara, I pay homage. Om my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator.
Om
giving effort to the meditation, crown of Tathagatas, actions triumph without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection, homage feelings to Tade, whom desire direction and space, trampling with their feet the seven worlds, able to draw from the being, homage worshipped by the All-Lord, Shaka Ani Vamamara, honored by the host of spirits, corpses as Gandhavas Yakshas, homage with their treasure, sound, disjoint, magic diagram, her feet pressing left out right, hidden in a raging fire blaze, homage to the very dreadful, destroyer of Mara's champions, she with frowning lotus visage, who is slayer of all enemies, homage at the heart her fingers, adorn her with Rijo Mudra, light ray masses all excited, all delicious to adorn her, homage she so joyous radiant, crown emitting garlands of light, her full laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's devas, homage she able to summon, all her guardians assembly, shaking frowning with her home sign, saving from every misfortune, homage crown adorned with crescent, moon anonymous for shining, Amitabha in her hair now, sending out much light eternal. Homage to the priest of blade, beyond ending fire abiding, righteous left and joy surround you, troops of enemies destroying. Homage she who strikes the ground with, her palm and with her foot beats it, scowling with the letter who, seven levels she does conquer. Homage at the first evil, she who fulfills his peace nirvana, she and that with home and soha, destroyer of the great evil. Homage she with joy surrounded, tearing foes' bodies asunder, praises whom in knowledge mantra, orange mud of the ten letters. Homage to the received letters, homage with soul of Olu, half a the three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vindhya. Homage holding in her hand the hemisphere of divine light, totally dispelling poison. Homage to the gods and their kings, and the Kinaras do honor. Armored in our joyful splendor, she dispels the dreams and conflicts. Homage she who's twice bright with radiance of sun and full moon, with Haisara and Tutare, she dispels the fear contagion. Homage full of liberating, powered by the set of three natures, dresses of the spirits Yakshas, and raised corpus supine Ture. These praises with the root mantras and prostrations, thus are 21. And turn to page 190, and let's read the prayer of the benefits. Whoever is endowed with devotion for the goddess and recites this with supreme faith, remembering at dawn upon waking and in the evenings, will be granted all fearlessness, will perfectly pacify all negativities, and will eliminate all unfortunate migrations. The multitudes of conquerors will quickly grant initiation. Thus endowed with this greatness, one will eventually reach the state of a Buddha. If affected by the most terrible poison, whether ingested, drunk, or from a living being, just by remembering will one be thoroughly cleansed. If this prayer is recited 2, 3, or 7 times, it will pacify all the sufferings of torments caused by spirits, fevers, and poisons, and not by other beings as well. If you wish for a child, you will get a child. If you wish for wealth, you will receive wealth. All your wishes will be fulfilled, and all obstacles pacified. Now the dedication prayer, let's see, on page 263, final Lam Rim dedication. For my two collections, vast of space that I have immersed for working with effort at this practice for a great length of time, may I become the chief leading Buddha for all those whose minds, wisdom, eye is blinded by ignorance. Even if I do not reach this state, may I be held in your loving compassion for all lives, Manjushri. May I find the best of completed graded paths of the teachings, and may I please all the Buddhas by my practice. Using skillful means drawn by the strong force of compassion, and I clear the darkness from the minds of all beings. With the points of the path as I have discerned them, may I uphold Buddha's teachings for a very long time. With my heart going out with great compassion, in whatever direction the most precious teachings have not yet spread, or once have spread, have declined, may I reveal this treasure of happiness and aid. May the minds of those who wish for liberation be granted bounteous peace, and the Buddha's deeds be nourished for a long time. By even this great path of enlightenment completed, due to the wondrous virtuous conduct of the Buddhas and their sons, may all human and non-human beings eliminate adversity and create conducive conditions for practicing the excellent paths, never be parted in any of their lives from the purest path praised by the Buddhas. Whenever someone makes effort to act in accordance with the tenfold Mahayana virtuous practices, may you always be assisted by the mighty ones, and may oceans of prosperity spread everywhere. In the long life prayers on 244-245. Jonu ian alang wa jortu, awatare tembara zopa, losange wa de ton le special, jasu gengyo lama so wa de. Tupsu jan jin jan gengye we, ten jin kyong pe we, kunzu do po tse, chok sum kur we le mu tu du. Padok so duje, gundu jab ten sho. Seven green taras mantras for Geshen and Geshe Sangpo, long, healthy, happy life. Om taritu taritu re soha. 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 Om taritu taritu re soha.